This is Jennifer Dupre interviewing Betty Walton on June 28th, 1989.
Good.
Okay, we're recording.
Okay, I am Betty Walton, and I am 67 years old, and I have spent a great deal of my summers in Grand Haven. I was born in Grand Rapids, and my mother and father came there as bride and groom and liked it so much that they always kept in touch with Grand Rapids people, and I think perhaps that's the reason they bought a cottage at Grand Haven. They became familiar with Grand Haven beaches when they lived there. Later we moved, when I was only two, we went to Detroit, and I think it was probably 1932 that they bought a cottage in Stickney Ridge, and from 1932 until the Great War, I came every summer to Grand Haven. Actually, our cottage was in Stickney Ridge, which is right next to Highland Park. So it wasn't quite in Grand Haven, but we always said our cottage was at Grand Haven, though actually it isn't. Usually, the day school was out, we packed our trunks. In those days, everybody had a steamer trunk. And my mother and my sisters and I came to the cottage, and we spent the entire summer here until Labor Day weekend. And we had many, many neighbors from Highland Park and Stickney Ridge who were from St. Louis, Chicago, and Grand Rapids, as well as Detroit. And we all came every summer. There probably was about 15 families, and we had children pretty much in our age group, so we had a large gang of kids who came every summer and spent the entire time here. And it was a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
How did you get out here? Did you take the train, or did your dad drive?
No, my mom drove. My mother had learned to drive, and she had a funny old Essex.
And all the trunks would fit in there?
The steamer trunks. Those were flat, narrow ones, and they would fit. They would fit in the back seat. And I drove with my mother, and usually the first weekend when we came, my father came too. This is also in the days of the handyman, which made cottage living a lot easier, because my mother would write the handyman, who happened to be Mr. Bottoma, who's almost, I don't know what he is in this town, but everybody knows Mr. Bottoma. And they would write him and tell him the date they were arriving. Everybody did. And he would go out to the cottage and take down all the boards, because we boarded up the cottages then. There was no storm windows or anything. We boarded, literally, they nailed boards up over all the windows and doors. And Mr. Bottoma would then have all the windows, all the boards taken down, and the walks were all swept. And we there was always, can't think of their name, Mrs. Zisk was one of them. She was the cleaning lady. She and her sisters used to come, and they would clean the cottage. So when my mother walked in, it was in pretty good shape, and the ladies had been there and scrubbed the floors and done all the windows and aired all the bedding, which always got so musty. In fact, the smell of musty cottage is a good smell to me, and strangely enough, it is to my daughters too, because we always connect that with the cottage. Other people say, "What smells in here so terrible?" And we say, that's a good smell, because we connect that smell with the cottage. That isn't true now. We don't do those things, but it certainly was in the 30s and the 40s, I'm sure, and even the 50s, if my own children remember that. I think one of the nicest things at their cottage, we had to park our cars up at a garage. You couldn't drive to a cottage, and that seems terribly inconvenient to some people. But actually, it's nice to have nothing but sand dunes. And in those days, there was nothing but sand out here. Nothing had been built on Grand Avenue, and there were just huge sand dunes. Sand dunes taller than houses that we could run down. There was nothing. It was in the days when Dewey Hill wasn't a blade of grass on Dewey Hill. It was just all sand all the way up to the top, and they were so much taller. Or maybe I was shorter and younger. Who knows? I'm always so sure those sand dunes were forever. I suspect it's because I was so little looking at them at that time. let's see.
How old was the cottage on Stickney Ridge that you lived in?
I'm not sure. We bought the cottage from a man by the name of Thomas Kirby. The Kirby family was a big family here in town, and he had built six of these cottages, and they were called the Indian Village, as a matter of fact, which was part of Mr. Stickney's old farm, and it was all part of Stickney Ridge. I remember my mother and father saying that the cottage, they thought, had been built about 1920. My parents had been living in Grand Rapids in 1920 or 1919, and they kind of remembered coming down and seeing the cottages being built. They weren't sure, but they thought that was right. I suspect that's pretty much the way. I suspect that's right.
What was the cottage like on the inside?
Well, cottages were all pretty much alike there. They had wooden floors in them, and they were must have been well built. Later, we had friends come and visit who would say, every building code in the world has been broken, and yet somehow these cottages right here on the lake survive in spite of the fact that they wouldn't begin to pass the building code nowadays. Strangely enough, they do, even with the sifting sands. They all had wooden floors upstairs, and then our cottage, and I think most of them downstairs, had what we call linoleum that covered all of them. And so it made housekeeping a very simple thing. In the morning, you could sweep, because there was not a blade of grass around, you brought in a ton of sand, and it was real easy to come in and just sweep out the whole house, and we would have scatter rugs on the floor. I remember that we would shake out. And I suppose it was, in those days, nobody thought of buying new stuff for the cottage. You always brought down the old things from the city. And you painted it up and you made do for a cottage. And I don't think anybody's cottage was any different than that. I can remember our old porch furniture came down to the cottage. When we bought it, it had some furniture in it, some old antique chairs, which I remember painting. We had a huge dining room table. I think all cottages did, because you always had lots of company. You could be very popular having a cottage. And we knew so many people from Grand Rapids who would come down for the day. You didn't have to. And it was one of those cottages, I think all cottages had 4, 5, and 6 bedrooms. And I think we had 6, and then my folks broke down a partition between 2 that make it 5 because they wanted a bigger bedroom for themselves. And they were very simple cot-like things that were in the kids' bedrooms. My mother and father, I do remember buying good beds, which I approve of. Can I stop for a minute?
And how everybody had long tables, big tables, and how popular it was to have a cottage.
Yes, that's right. And I remember when I think about it, we didn't have a very big kitchen, and I don't remember anyone having a very big kitchen. I think mothers in those days had to be real good sports. I never remember using paper plates. My mother hated them. We had bright colored plates, but my Lord, we had stacks of them. But also, an awful lot of our friends, including my mother, had what they called a hired girl, and a little girl drove out from town on her bicycle. And I guess she did the dishes. I don't remember doing dishes much. So I'm sure that's what happened. I kind of remember her driving out. Kids come out from town. I shudder when I think she probably got about $3 a week, which is dreadful. But I suppose that was the going wage in those days.
And she just came in on her bike from town for a few hours, you know.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember being in the morning, but she was there in the afternoons, and probably when my mother needed help, when everybody was on the beach, probably to help my mom get the stuff on the table. I know she wasn't there in the morning, because I remember sweeping the sand out of the cottage. That was one thing we had to do every day, make our bed and sweep the sand out of the cottage. Everybody had a different area, my sisters and I did. We each did our bedrooms, and then you were free for the rest of the day. So I'm sure she must have helped my mother at night with the dishes, because as I say, I don't remember that.
What did you do for the rest of the day?
Well, believe it or not, most of us would go, if it was a nice day, we went to the beach and we laid on that beach. Now, I am so fair-skinned and freckled, I cannot believe. In those days, there was no such thing as sunblock. The only thing there was ungotine after you'd gotten burned that would take the sting out. And I could get a burn. Year-round, I got burns. I remember burning and peeling and burning and peeling. It's no wonder I have skin cancers now. Nobody told me anything different. I remember laying out in front of our cottage with the gangs of us, the same people who were there year in and year out. There must have been 20 or 25 of us who would go out and lay on the beach. We had also had, we had canoes, and we had flat bottom, can't think of what it was. My dad got one. It was real light, and it was like a canoe, but it was made of the same stuff that a canoe was, and it was wood, lightweight, like a plywood, I think, and it was flat bottom, and it was so light that we could pick it up and carry it to the cottage, which is at the top of the sand dune. Almost everybody had something like that. There are no docks allowed in Lake Michigan, so of course you couldn't have a place to dock things. Night after night, I remember we took turns going to people's houses. Gosh, it sounds so simple now.
How long were there not docks in Lake Michigan? I didn't know that.
I don't think there are. They're not allowed.
Still?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What kind of docks do you mean?
I mean, a dock where you could tie up a boat, you know, marina, like I suppose you call them now.
That's why all our docks are on the Grand River. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, because I think it's federal waters. Out here, I don't know, or state, I don't know where the boundaries exactly go, but you never were allowed that. I remember hearing about Grandpa Smedley here. He had what my mother-in-law called a launch. I don't really know. That sounds much more elegant than the pictures I've seen of it, which looked like an oversized rowboat. Then I remember spending lots of time in the evening times. We had beach rows. That was a great big thing in our lives, beach rows, where we would build big bonfires, and there was tons of driftwood on the beach. And we took turns, everybody did, having a roast. And I suppose, I don't remember that we ever had potato chips much. When we were real ill, I don't think they'd invented them. Maybe they had. But I remember having hot dogs, and mostly hot dogs, because we roasted them. One time I remember I had a birthday party in August, and my father went down, and later he told me he had bought steaks. They were cube steaks, and they were 9 cents a pound. Because there would be maybe 20 or 30 kids there, and the boys you had to allow 3 cube steaks for.
Wow.
To go in a bun, and, and the girls had maybe 2. But some of us were a little chunky. As I look at the pictures, we didn't think we were fat in those days, but I think nowadays you would never make it. No way. They were way too thin.
I wish those days would come back then. Get in a lot better.
I think another thing we did when it was rainy.
Can I ask you about the roast though? Was it mostly a kids thing? Oh, the kids got together, would the parents?
No, we were too old for parents to be there. I mean, we were probably in junior high and high school now. I'm talking about. I had a little sister that was younger, and there were a lot of little kids her age, and I don't ever remember them being there. They really weren't family things. The beach roast I'm talking about.
It was like a kid, fun social activity.
Mm-hmm. For evening time. And then sometimes we would walk down to the pavilion, and there was roller skating in the lower part of the pavilion. And I can remember then, that I guess I must have been real little then when I'd be roller skating, maybe 12. And I can remember, there used to be a sidewalk that went all the way from Stickney Ridge, all the way down Highland Park, all the way down to the pavilion, which is where the Bilmar is now. Or those apartment buildings, one of the two. In fact, we used to have mail delivered out there. We had mailboxes down. And someplace down we had our mail delivered. I can't quite remember exactly where it was, or if it was up at the grocery store at Stickney Ridge, I don't remember. But I know my mother could and her friends could walk down to the pavilion on the sidewalk. It was a concrete sidewalk that went all the way down there, and we could ride our, I don't think I had a bike. I remember roller skating down there. But they had, they used to have roller skating, which was a fun thing to do. We'd stop sometimes in the daytime and get a Coke. There was a grocery store that had had a soda fountain, I guess you would have called it then. I remember doing that. When we were little, I can remember staying in the cottage and reading books and hearing the rain on the roof. That's one of my earliest favorite memories, and hearing the foghorn. Oh, yeah, that foghorn at night just... Oh, that was such a good sound. I was so sick when they changed it. I know they had to, but it's a memory that was very dear to me. But I remember reading, and we used to use the library in town. I don't know how we'd manage that. Maybe they just let us have a summer card. I don't remember, because we weren't residents here.
Did they have electricity?
Yes, we had electricity, and in our cottage we used to have... get hot water, you had to put quarters in. I don't remember why, but oh Lord, you hung on to every quarter. My mother would be furious if you ever took a quarter from her, because she needed quarters. There was some kind of a hot water system that needed quarters. Everybody needed them. You didn't borrow a quarter from anybody because no one wanted to loan it to you. And you put a quarter in to get hot water. And we did have electricity. And we always had running water in my day down there, which, as I said, I think was 1930. I don't know where that water came from. I have no idea. I never remember seeing pumps there. Up at the garages where we parked the cars, there was Mr. Stickney had built garages, and you parked your car there and came down a huge incline to this concrete walk that came all along in front of the cottages. And then up there was, he also had a little store, which would be a pre-runner of like the 7-Eleven stores. There was, he just simple, very easy things that he had there. I remember getting ice cream, and then there was some little boy who used to come down and get your grocery order in the morning time, and my mother would order some groceries, and I don't think he kept them there. I think he went in town and got them, and probably a little commission or something on the side to do that. And then he delivered them to the house in the afternoon, I can remember. But I remember that boy coming by, and sometimes he didn't. I don't remember that man's name. It wasn't Mr. Stickney, but it was some man who ran that store up there. Because I used to think in later years when I was married and had children of my own, I thought, my mother used to have groceries delivered to her door. And she just told them what she wanted in the morning, and she got it by afternoon. And I think that's how that went. And I know they did have ice cream and candy bars up there that you could get any time. because I remember doing that. But rainy days were not bad days, because that was such a fun time to lay upstairs in bed and read books. And then, as I say, when we're a little older and we were able to go to down to the pavilion and places, we actually, another thing we do when we were more boy-girl stage, whatever stage that was in those days, 14, 15, we used to take turns going to people's cottages, and we would have popcorn and fudge. Mm-hmm. Big deal. Oh, my Lord, that was such exciting.
I've never had that before.
No, well, can you imagine nowadays asking someone to come over and have some popcorn and fudge? They'd think you were crazy. But we used to make huge batches of popcorn and make fudge. And we would play records. That had to be the start for me, at least, of the swing era with Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey. And everybody had a record player. No hi-fis or stereos or that stuff. They hadn't been invented or even thought of. You had scratchy little records. And I always hated it at the end of summer, because sand got into everything, and of course it scratched your records that you had bought and saved for all year. And those were Decca records that were 25 and 35 cents is what we paid for those. No wonder they were scratchy. I mean,
yeah.
You weren't paying much for them. But, and the Victor records were 50 cents. They were more elegant and probably recorded under a better system. They weren't ever as scratchy. But, oh, we thought that was wonderful. I can remember going into town on Sundays. We always went to church, and the church I went to was St. Patrick's Church, which was a precious wooden church, and Father Hyland was there for most of my life that I can remember. And he was quite a disciplinarian. He was quite a character, as a matter of fact. If you acted up in church, he called your name, and boy, you were humiliated, and you were taken out. Oh, he was the uncle of a friend of ours, Bob Hyland, who came from St. Louis. And he had a brother, Father Hyland had a brother who was a doctor for the St. Louis Browns, I guess it must have been the baseball team. I don't know, St. Louis Browns? That sounds right. Anyway, he was here every summer, and I was scared to death of him. I never would have misbehaved in church. I can remember on Sundays going into town when you could have heard a pin drop all over town, and the only store that was open was Fortino's. I think Fortino's was open, and I think that's where we got our newspapers on Sundays. Or was that later? I don't remember. But I can remember... Nobody would have ever gone in town, certainly never on Main Street, without all your Sunday go to meeting clothes on. I mean, just nobody went out. And it was a very quiet, and there wasn't a store open, there wasn't much traffic in town. It was a very quiet, the Lord's Day, truly, in that town, and kind of different than today. And I remember there wouldn't ever be a movie open. They had no movies on Sundays ever in this town when we were little. I was kind of surprised at that, because I came from a big city of Detroit where we had movies, and that was something to do Sunday afternoons, was to go to the movies. But here they didn't allow the movies on Sundays.
What was St. Pat's Wooden Church? Was that an old church that they've torn down?
Yes, in fact, it had to be torn. I'd planned to be married there. I was sick, Bill, and I couldn't be married there. But... they tore it down when they put the 31 came through town. It was right there where, on Fulton Street, right just exactly where the road goes through when 31 crosses Fulton, and that's exactly where it was. It was a darling little church. It was just the right size, I thought, and it was built in the days when a church looked like a church, and it was a little wooden church. It was darling. I loved it. And I was sorry when it was torn down, but they didn't ask me, so what can I say? Let's see, I remember walking into town. We'd walk from here into town. There was three shows in town then. There was the Grand, and then there was the Robin Hood up on Main Street, right near where I don't know where the bank is now on Washington Street, near 3rd Street. And then there was another movie over near where Cook's is now. I can't think of the name of that movie, but that was way out on, I think that's still Washington Street, isn't it, where Cook's is?
Yeah.
And there was a third movie there, so they must have enjoyed movies, but they just didn't have them on Sundays.
did you commonly call the Grand Haveners they? Or, I mean, were they thought of different than the summer people?
Yeah. We didn't call them townies, but we knew one of my dearest friends that I did meet when I was in high school, who I just lost last year. Became my dearest friend. She was a townie. She went, but that isn't what we called them. And we did not call them Grand Havenites. And I have no idea what they called us. I didn't, because there were so many of us, I never really had an opportunity nor much desire to get acquainted with the people in town because there wasn't a need for it, I suppose. We just had droves on our beach. My father started taking movies in 1937, and I have tons of movies of us laying around on the on the beach getting burned to a crisp, excepting the people that had tans, like my husband Bill, who always got tan. I can also remember we used to have a lot of running races that we played. And my sister Pat and I were so uncoordinated. Oh, dear God, it's a good thing that I have all girls because I'm married to a man who went to school on an athletic scholarship, and he's very coordinated. He was always athletic. But my sister and I, we were not. And we were always the last ones chosen for any game, especially a running game. Neither one of us ran very fast. We were always the last one chosen because we knew they knew they'd lose time when it was past my turn to run on the beach. Years ago, we used to take up a collection in the fall, and we had a diving stand. I remember that. Mr. Bottomman made one for $20, and so we had to go to 20 cottages and get a dollar from each of the cottages to pay for that. And that was a big deal. Usually, Memorial Day, if the water wasn't icy cold, they would put it out there. And then Memorial Day, it had to come down. I don't know. I suppose it would be against the law, really, to put a diving stand out there. And it didn't have a diving board. It was just four steel legs and a wooden top that you could swim out to and lay down and get fried again, I guess. I remember that was quite a deal. And I also remember one of the things that was a highlight of the summer was for us to get in the girls would have an overnight, and we, and the, of course, had to have a chaperone, and we would get the Shadley girls, who were probably college age at that point, and there would be three or four of them, and maybe eight or ten of us young girls, and we had no sleeping bags in those days, so we'd take a blanket and roll it all up. And we would walk down the beach beyond Rosie Mound and plan to cook out and spend the night. And we always put our food in, like, flashlights in the canoes. And we'd take turns. There would be two or three canoes, and then the rest of us would walk on the shore. And that was a big event, to go down there and spend the night. And in those days, there was miles and miles of land where, I mean, you were spending the night, but there were no cottages behind you. I don't think there was much beyond Holcomb Hills. There'd be occasionally a few, maybe down in the wilderness, some places like that. But there was such a huge, big beach, we didn't bother anybody. And even in those days, we knew enough to clean up our beach. That's one thing that I always remembered, that we were very fussy about. We cleaned up our debris. We never left our debris on the beach. We policed an area as soon as we had cooked or whatever we had done. We were very good about that.
Your parents instilled that? Or?
I suppose. I don't know why, but I remember every kid I knew, all of us, we didn't have wrappers and things. I never remember seeing much debris on the beach, and there were so many cottages that were using that beach down in Stickney Ridge as well as here in Highland Park. But I remember always we had brown paper sacks and filling that with all the debris that was laying around. Broken down hot dogs or whatnot.
That would definitely not occur nowadays.
No, it wouldn't.
No, not at all.
Well, they were wonderful, wonderful, happy days, and very simple. I mean, you know, it wouldn't sound very exciting to anybody right now, and I don't know that we expected exciting. We just knew that was the way life went, and it was a nice way. It was easy, and it was long, and it all ended, of course, when the war started, and then everybody's life got mixed up and went a million different ways, but those summers were priceless, wonderful summers with lots of beach rose and rain out in the sun.
Where did you meet your husband?
I don't remember when I didn't know him, you see, because
he... Was he another summer person?
Oh, yeah, he came here every summer. He'd come before I'd come. And he knew lots of people down in Stickney Ridge. He and he had a brother, just 2 years younger than he was. And I can remember seeing him in knickers, now, and he was tall and thin and black. He got almost black in the summertime, got so tan, and he didn't like girls. He was always growling, and he was so athletic. It's the one thing he wanted to do was play athletics, and I'm sure he was bored. My father tried to pay him to teach me to play tennis. If he'd ever dreamt he was going to marry me, I'm sure he would have, because he loved to play tennis, and I never really learned much about tennis. So I don't remember when I didn't know him. He kind of grew like Topsy.
Uh-huh.
I just always knew him. Well, I've talked a long time. I realize it's 10:30 already.
We can talk longer. I wondered if you'd like to talk more about the cottage you're living in now. This cottage.
Well, I always say to my husband that I married him just for his cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, after we were married, my family moved east, and my sisters were not interested in the cottage, and as long as I had a cottage, I could care, so they sold their cottage. But when I came here as a bride in 42, I was intrigued with the place because it was so old and nothing had changed, and mine was old, but this was really old. I mean, turn of the century old. It was very dark. And of course, that's the reason the walls are also light and a lot of things. And I did lots of things. I wished I hadn't done the things I threw out, the brass bits, Bill's old crib, an iron crib that he had that had been here because they had old things here. There were stacks of, they must have saved every National Geographic. I have spent...
That time you probably thought it was just junk.
I know. I spent the first 20 years of my life, every time I came, throwing and pitching out. I'm sick about some of the things I threw out, but at least it becomes functional. When I came during the war years when Bill was overseas in prison camp. I came both summers. When he came back, we came and spent the summer here. In fact, someday I'm going to keep track of, write down all the years I was here and the few that I wasn't here. When Bill went to Korea, when he was overseas in the Korean War, he was gone 2 summers, and I came both summers. And I'm still, then I think about all my children have come here. In fact, it's really the only home my older girls know. When we were in the Air Force on active duty so many years, they moved all the time. You must be from someplace. People would say, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
So my girls always said, I'm from Grand Haven, because it was the only continuity they had in their lives. They came back every summer, and it was that we were stationed here in this country. And it was the same. And that was very important to them, because they could remember each year, even when they were little, that it was the same. It was the only continuity. And I notice now when they sign the cottage book, how wonderful they feel it is. Now they're married, and they bring their children back here. Yeah. And it's fun to see my little granddaughters now when they finally get old enough to sign the cottage book, and now they're old enough to write what has happened to them that summer. So it's a wonderful collection of old times, and we've had it settles many family arguments who say because you weren't here that summer, now look, and then you can go back and no one can debate the cottage book. So those are important. And they've had cottage book here since 1903. And the only summer the cottage wasn't open was the summer of 72 when Bill's mother died. I could not open the cottage. I felt she had come every summer. It had been built when she was, the summer she was born was the first summer that they had had it. And I didn't open the cottage that summer, but every other summer we've been here. And it just is a priceless old place, but it's, as I said, the one thing falling apart faster than I am. And I think if the cottage doesn't go this way, I think the sand dunes are going to come this way on us. So I think, unfortunately, our days here are numbered. I don't think we'll be able to. And another thing is the value of the property is going up so terribly. I forgot what they charge now per foot of lakefront property. It's out of sight, even though these are narrow lots. It's just gone to an astronomical. And the taxes, of course, are high, high, high. And these are really still just a cottage. It's linoleum on the floor and the inside walls, the outside walls. So, you know, it's just not like it's a year-round home. Some of them have been turned into year-round homes, but ours hasn't. And I think it's exciting to think that this one family has been here, and when you count Bill and I, Bill's grandparents were here, his mother, himself, is the third generation, and now he has his grandchildren, which are the fifth generation of one family, to be in a place. It's kind of unique and unusual. And every room is filled with a thousand memories of funny things. And
do they write a lot of these things down in the log book? Or the
yes, in the cottage book. Oh, yes. I have three son-in-laws who are they all love the cottage as much as their wives do. And so they bring their families. They come from New York. They come from Florida. They come from Wisconsin. They come from Washington every year and bring the little girl kids. And the little kids love it, too. So,
The cottage book, have you ever gone through it and read, like, the things that they wrote in 1903?
Oh, yes. It's a prized book. In fact, we show it to people. And it's you can see this funny old spindly writing in it of what wonderful times they had and the sort of things that they did. I can't imagine when I came here I found linen tablecloths. Now, to put a linen tablecloth on the table, and
that's
in the days
they had tablecloths they had, though.
Well, I suppose they heated them. They heated the iron. I mean, you know, they didn't have, it must have been a dreadful thing. I know Grandma always had hired a girl, but even then it must have been a production to do anything. I just can't conceive of operating like that. They had lovely, lovely old things here, but they were a great deal of care to take care of. There were three flights of steps down to the beach just to get down to the beach. Would have been an undertaking with all your long skirts and your hot clothes. I just can't imagine they had to dearly love the place. I think shortly after the cottage was built, and I think maybe that inner urban started around 1908 when they got, they had a train always there for a long time from Grand Rapids to Grand Haven, but this little extension, they called it the dummy line, that came out to come out to the cottages here was very important because it'd be very handy to get off here. Because, see, there was no roads back here. There was no parking lot up there. When you can ask my husband, but when he was little, he says they had to park way up at where the Highland Park Hotel is, which is way up high above where the Bilmar is, and they lugged everything down here. So the train would have been a wonderful, wonderful thing to have been able to buzz down on that train. There also was river transportation for a while. that came from Grand Rapids down here. Now, I don't know if that was even in the lifetime of the cottage, so I'm wondering about that. I have no idea. I can't remember. It was a little before my time.
Yeah. From what people told me, they had people coming from St. Louis, Chicago, and Grand Rapids on the lake and the river, and about the 20s and before that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I remember taking the ferry boat, I mean the passenger boat from Chicago over here on a day trip.
Uh-huh.
That's the way my husband always came when he was a little boy with his mother, because he was born in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
His mother was from Grand Rapids, of course, and she married Grandpa Chick, and they moved to, as bride and groom, they went to Chicago, but she came back with her children by boat. So I think that kind of has done it.
Okay. And is there anything else you would like to add? I know, another question I really wanted to ask you is, how do you feel about Grand Haven, the community? I mean, did it stay constant, or?
Yes, I always thought, I can always remember my mother and father saying what a clean, lovely community it was. And after the war, my mother and father hoped that Bill and I would come and live in Grand Haven. They always thought it was such a nice place to raise a family. It really hasn't changed in many ways like a lot of other towns have. I mean, Main Street is pretty much the same as it was when I was a kid. I mean, there's still just those three blocks there. I mean, that's all there is. Now the stores, some of them, of course, have changed. But I remember Mr. Eckert's, yeah, still going in there as a little kid when they had bins, and he would had a big funnel thing like they have it at Myers, and he would shovel in and weigh the cookies or whatever my mother was buying. But I think the town of Grand Haven has done tremendous things for the town to make it such a lovely resort town. I remember the days of we used to go roller skating at the barn, which was another place if we could get a ride to get that far to the barn to roller skate there. And then I remember dances there were I think Eddie Duchin's orchestra played there one time, which is nothing you remember, but he's part of that big ten, or I mean not big ten, but swing band era. And that was such an ugly, ugly place there. The Coast Guard station was always a big thing. I was born, my birthday's August the 2nd, and as a little kid my father used to say, "We're going to have fireworks for your birthday. We're going to have a big celebration. We're going to have a parade." And it was a long, I was kind of a dumb kid, I think, because it was a long time before I realized that it wasn't for my birthday. Indeed, it was the celebration of the Coast Guard. And I remember walking down to the pier, and we would wave, and the fellows from the Coast Guard station would come over and pick us up and row us. It was a rowboat. And row us across so we could play up in the dunes on the other side. They were very, very nice. My mother, one time I went swimming in that Grand River, and I remember my mother had a fit. She felt, she knew nothing about pollution. She thought it was filthy, dirty, and I remember we all had to take Life Boy bath soap, and Life Boy was a very strong, smelly soap. It was an antiseptic soap when we got home, because she was horrified that anyone would swim in that river. We had jumped off, and there used to be ladders that you could climb up on the side of
that. That was when it was clean.
By contrast to today, yes. But I do remember them going over. I remember the Coast Guard, always being fascinated with the Coast Guard. And, of course, I remember the Escanaba that was there for so long. That was the only pretty part, pretty thing on the Grand River then. And now it's such a gorgeous place. I just am so proud of it and so thrilled. I always take my house guests down there, and we walk on that pier, which I think is so nice nowadays, because you see young couples, you see teenagers, you see old near-deads like myself walking along there at night. I mean, you know, they use it. They use it all the time. I think it's a wonderful thing. But anyway, Grand Haven has been a neat, neat place. It's been important in my life, and it's been fun to watch it be important in my children and now my grandchildren's lives.
Do you feel it's getting all of a sudden very glitzy, though? Kind of too commercial.
Oh, yes. I thank God I have a cottage I can hole into, and I don't have to go out for days when they start promoting motor races and beauty contests and sand sculpturing. And, you know, and they're not wrong in themselves. It's just that it brings so many people in mobs, and we're not equipped in this town to handle that kind of mobs, and the traffic is just deplorable. It just is too bad. I don't know if it's necessary, but whether it's necessary or not, they're doing it. And then, of course, as I say, they didn't ask me, so what can I say?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came to Grand Haven, and it's been a dream of mine all my life to spend my summers there, so I think Bill and I are so fortunate now. I spent every summer here as a child, and then the rest of the time I came, but it was for limited times, you know, no more than 2 or 3 weeks at a time, until we retired in 1981. And then since 81, Bill and I have come from Sarasota every single year, and we usually come the end of May or the first week in June, and then we stay to whenever it gets too nippy out here, and then we just start.